How the invasion of Ukraine could affect interest rates here. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Russia's invasion of Ukraine is making the job of the U.S. Central Bank a lot tougher. Top Federal Reserve officials are set to meet next month. They're going to decide whether to raise interest rates to fight inflation. Now they have to factor in the invasion. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins me now to talk about it. Morning, Nancy.
Good morning.
So why would the crisis in Ukraine affect the Federal Reserve?
It's putting pressure on oil prices since Russia is a big oil supplier. And Russia is also a major producer of metals. So those prices also went up. And Sabri, this just adds to the inflation the Fed is trying to tame.
The Fed might also have to deal with a situation called stagflation, where you have higher prices but slowing economic growth. How might that complicate things?
The Fed doesn't want to raise rates so much that it tips the economy into a recession. Stagflation just increases that risk. Diane Swank, the chief economist at Grant Thornton, remembers what it was like in the 1970s when super high oil prices collided with rising unemployment.
It was the worst of all worlds, of people losing their jobs or the economy stagnating as inflation continued to march higher, so losing purchasing power as well. And that's why it's something we worry about so much.
Have Fed officials said anything about this?
Fed Governor Christopher Waller said yesterday he'd still be open to raising interest rates by a half a percentage point when they meet next month, although he did say he'll keep a close eye on the economic data. Other Fed officials were a bit more cautious, but they were still open to a smaller rate hike.
All right. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Ukraine's military has shut down commercial shipping at its ports, which are located along the northern edge of the Black Sea. This comes after reports Russia suspended commercial shipping traffic along Ukraine's easternmost coast. The Black Sea region is a major trading hub for both Russia and Ukraine. Marketplace's Justin Ho has more on how the conflict is disrupting trade routes there.
Russia and Ukraine's ports on the Black Sea are big export hubs for wheat, corn, and crude oil that gets loaded from pipelines and onto ships.
A lot of fertilizer comes out of the Black Sea. It's a big ammonia producer, which is used in fertilizer production.
Vivek Srivastava is senior trade analyst at Vessels Value.
And there's a lot of things like steel products produced in the Black Sea region.
Srivastava says Black Sea trade has been slowing down over the past few weeks, now that Russia has invaded Ukraine.
We might well see ship owners refusing to send their ships into the Black Sea region.
Trade in the Black Sea could be disrupted further if Russia decides to blockade Ukrainian ports, and it would further isolate Ukraine, says Rachel Brewster, a professor at Duke Law School.
You know, blockading the ports could lead to major shortages within Ukraine.
That's because Brewster says a blockade would make it harder for aid to get into the country. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
Volatility on markets continues. The Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ indices all ended in positive territory yesterday after plummeting at first when Russia started its invasion. The NASDAQ finished Thursday up 3.3% after falling by as much as 3.5% earlier in the day. Let's see how things are shaping up this morning. The FTSE in London is up 2.1%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down in the 0.2% to 0.5% range, with the Dow future down 168 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 1.969%.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI?
I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
The U.S. government has owed tribal nations money for water infrastructure for decades. It has gone unpaid until this week. The Department of the Interior announced it'll put $1.7 billion towards fulfilling water rights settlements with 12 tribal nations in Arizona, New Mexico, Utah, and Montana. Marketplace's Savannah Maher reports.
In 1908, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that tribes have a right to as much water as they need to be self-sufficient. But it didn't quite work out that way.
You know, there's a difference between paper water and wet water.
Stephen Rowe Lewis is governor of the Gila River Indian Community in southern Arizona. He says it took until 2004 to get his tribe's water rights codified into federal law, nearly a century after that Supreme Court ruling. And one term of the tribe's 2004 settlement with the federal government wasn't fulfilled until this week. Funding to improve the tribe's water infrastructure.
The allocation that we're getting is going to be $92 million, which will allow the community to shore up our water delivery system.
Gila River is one of dozens of Western tribes that's been waiting on funding from a water rights settlement, says John Echohawk with the Native American Rights Fund.
Some of these have been around 10 or 20 years, 30 years.
The challenge, he says, has been getting Congress to appropriate the infrastructure funding it agreed to in these decades-old settlements.
It's a lot of work to try to get those appropriations, and the tribes get frustrated. And, you know, to have all that money put on the table now is just terrific news.
News that comes after a challenging 2 years for tribal nations. Indigenous people have been hit disproportionately hard by COVID-19 and the pandemic's economic ripple effects. And that's in part because of underinvestment in tribal water delivery systems, says Tracy Morris, director of the American Indian Policy Institute at Arizona State University.
People couldn't wash their hands. They don't have flushing toilets, using outhouses in some places. Not all, but it's out there. Look how compounded that becomes.
Morris says the funding set aside for tribes in the infrastructure spending plan, including to fulfill water rights settlements, could help narrow that infrastructure gap in the coming years. I'm Savannah Maher for Marketplace.
Our digital producer is Redmond Caralipio. Our engineers are Jay Siebold and Justin Dueler. Our intern is Jarrett Dang. I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.